I want to do a really quick review for those that were not here, just so it makes somewhat of sense, but I can't get through all of it because I can't explain all of it in detail. I encourage you to go back, listen to the podcast if you can. So as that slide comes up, last week, you can see part of it. If you remember, we talked about the fact that you were not born mediocre, right? Just agree with me when you remember these things. You were called to live abundantly. That when you're a child, you don't grow up dreaming about playing on the bench. You know, you don't grow up being in basketball, dreaming about being the person that sits on the bench. You dream about being the one that makes that final shot. And that's okay. It can't get distorted, but that's part of what God puts in us. You know, you get kids that run around being, you know, they're the Marvel comic, every warrior and superhero you can imagine. There's something inside of us that wants to win. Just amen me when you agree with me. And that's a godly thing. He put that inside of us because he wants us to move forward. But I said very, hopefully clearly, it's a choice. It's a choice. Go to that next slide. All right, here we go. Why did I say it's a choice? Beloved, I pray that you may, everybody say, that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. That's 3 John 1 verse 2. I'm not sure if I gave you the definition last week, but that word prosper means to be successful or fortunate, especially in financial respects, to thrive or to flourish. Now, I want to make very clear that when we talk about prosperity, we are not just talking about finances. Okay, finances are a part of prosperity. Let me say it this way. You can have a wealthy man that's very prosperous drive an old beat up vehicle and feel very secure. You could have somebody that drives an old beat up, or let's do it this way. You could have somebody that drives around in a $1 million car, but feel very insecure. They don't feel very prosperous inside. Prosperity is not just about what you have. But I really want to draw your attention again to that line. It says that you may prosper, and it's also joined very clearly to as your soul prospers. Next slide, please. We read this today. I am the gateway. To enter through me is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance. More than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. That's John 10, verses 9 and 10. The word abundance means exceeding some number or measure or rank or need, over and above, more than is necessary. How many like when you get something and it's more than is necessary? Did anybody get Valentine's gift that was more than necessary? No hands went up. We got one. All right. Being with your spouse is more than necessary sometimes, right? But the point is this, abundance. Glenn, are you being good? He's trying his hardest. My point is this, though, that abundance is beyond measure. Now think of it this way. We were born outside of the kingdom. Until you receive Jesus Christ, is there an abundance of life when you receive Jesus Christ? Is there an abundance when you die, when we leave this earth and go to heaven? Is there an abundance? Yes. Absolutely. But my point is there also an abundance that we can live in here on earth? Yes. Absolutely. All right, next slide. This was Matthew. This is where I started last week. This is the at Bethany, at the house. Let's just read it. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil. And she poured it out on his head as he sat at the table. When his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not always have." Matthew 26. My point with that is that it struck me. It was a sentence or a verse that I began to look at because it troubled me that Jesus could be on the earth and we could still have the poor with us. Now, again, I want you to think beyond finances. I want you to think emotionally, spiritually, physically, that we could have Jesus, but the poor, or we could still be poor. And that troubled me. Along with the next quote, again, I am not saying I agree with this quote 100%. Next slide. It's not your mistake if you were born poor. It's your mistake if you die poor. I'm saying that and I'm showing that because these are, between the scripture and the quote, it began to take me on this journey of what is our part in the kingdom. We began to even sing it today. There is the understanding that he can destroy. You know, we are singing Reckless Love. There's no mountain he won't climb up. There's no shadow that he won't destroy. But there's a part that we play, isn't there? And I want to go a little more into that today. I'm trying to think if there is one more. Oh, yeah, one more, please. One more slide. Again, we looked at two verses. It said, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." 2 Corinthians 8:9. Two key words in there that you see are? Say it out loud. Might become. That there is a choice. Do you remember what he said? He said, "Choose between life and death. It is your choice." He told the Hebrew people, "It's your choice, life or death." The Bible is full, and our daily life is full of choices that we make every day. So I'm going to give you two illustrations. I really am a simple thinker. There's concepts that I read. I'm like, "Lord, I need to understand this better." I'm going to say up front, you could probably shoot this with air. Not saying the scripture's air, but my analogy may not be 100% correct. I understand that. I'm going to use it to try to help us along, all right? So first image. Next slide. You know, if... I want you, this is a gym. I was trying to find a picture of an exclusive gym. This is one of the ones that came up. I have no idea what gym this is. But let's say for the analogy that you were given access, or let's do it this way. You had a desire to be a part of a gym, an exclusive gym. And this gym was $10,000 a month. It's the best gym in the world. It gives you the best access to things, the best machines, the best coaches, everything. It's $10,000 a month. So you get that tour, you go through it, and you realize right off the bat, there is no way, zero way, that you could possibly afford a $10,000 membership a month. I don't know who could, but I'm sure there are people that can. And so you're about to leave as you go and tour this because you think maybe I could be a part of it. And it's $10,000. And the very end, the person comes up to you at the desk and says, "Listen, I just want to let you know that actually somebody paid the price for your membership." What? Yeah, somebody paid the price that said, "I want to pay the price for that person. You can actually join the membership." How many would be excited if you could be a part of an exclusive club? Not because of the exclusivity, but if you had the best coaches in the world. Anybody else want to get in a better shape in 2019? Okay, so if I had the best coaches in the world and it was free, that's pretty awesome. And so you go there and you're just absolutely amazed that you get a free membership to this gym. So you walk around and, you know, you're inspired by the people that you see, right? Have you ever gone to a gym and you're just in awe of the ability, maybe it's their physique, maybe it's the ability of how much they can lift, and you're in awe, right? So you look around, you're in awe, you're blessed, you're amazed, and you come back, and you look around, and you're blessed, and you're amazed, and you admire these people and how good shape they are, and you occasionally visit, and you're still amazed at how amazing these people are. But after a while, you grow a little discouraged about your physique and your ability. How many realize that if you never sit on one of those machines and do anything with everything that you have purchased, it's worth nothing? So it doesn't matter if I go and watch Tim work out. I look at Tim, I'm like, my gosh, this guy's huge. This is a really important position. Ushers get picked on all the time. Last week it was Steve, now it's Tim. And I'm just amazed, and I could sit and watch Tim work out all day long. But how many know that although the price has been paid and I can watch him be amazing, it doesn't do anything for me? Right? So it doesn't matter how much equipment you have. It doesn't matter the price that's been paid. It's amazing that you get to get in, but you have to do something with the equipment that's there. Okay? Pretty simple. Turn to the next one, please. Sorry about that. Everyone know this bridge? Golden Gate Bridge. How many have crossed the Golden Gate Bridge? How many have crossed it on a sunny day? It's usually foggy. It's beautiful when you get to cross it. Crossed it twice. Golden Gate Bridge is one of the most, it's really one of the most famous bridges. It's an older bridge. Anybody know the name of this type of bridge? Kind of bridge? Suspension bridge. Anybody know another name for suspension that they use? Say it loud. It's a tension bridge. It's a very specific design. It's based on suspension, it's based on compression and tension. So I'm gonna give you another analogy. Again, this is not fully, it can be flawed. When you cross from Canada to America, how many are aware that when you're crossing over, at some point you see the flag that's there, right? You cross, isn't it amazing that in one second you're in Canada and another second you cross international borders and you're in another country? Just like that, it's amazing. So this does not cross countries, but I want you to imagine for a second it did. So you pull up to the booth and the toll to cross is beyond what you can pay. You realize when you get there, and if you go, right, you go to cross America to Canada, Canada to America, there's a toll you have to pay. It keeps climbing, but it's not exorbitant to the point where we can't afford it. I want you to imagine for a minute that you want to cross, and you get there, and let's use that $10,000. It's $10,000 to cross. You're like, $10,000? That's incredible. I can't pay $10,000. And again, going with my analogy, somebody says, listen, I will pay the price for you. Now, here's the cool thing. I don't want you to imagine that in the middle is the flag that changes over to another country. I want you to imagine sitting in the booth for a minute and you realize there's a flag sitting right there. And all you have to do is have the toll paid and move forward and you are literally in the other country. Okay? You're going to pay a price. You can't actually pay this price. Somebody says to you, listen, I'm going to pay the price for you. All you have to do is move forward. What you have to do, though, is accept the fact that I'm paying this price for you. It's pretty simple. That there's a price that has to be paid. Accept the fact that I'm paying for that price, and you can move forward. And so, of course, you want to do that, and so you receive the price that's paid. And I want you to understand that when you move the car forward, you are immediately go from one flag into another country. Now, but I also want you to look at the fact that are you in fully the other country yet? If I could, and I know there's a lot of things that you're going through your mind. So if you're right at the very beginning and you had the price paid, technically are you in the other country? Is there more waiting for you on the other side? Okay, thank you. I want you to turn for me. We're going to work with this analogy for a little bit. Turn with me for a second to Colossians. There's a reason that I use the suspension bridge. There's a reason why I'm going after something the last 2 weeks. When I was looking up, and I didn't go too far into it, but it's actually really incredible how a suspension bridge functions. I don't have a rope, but if I grabbed a rope, Pastor Rod had it on one side and I had it on the other, and we pulled, what do we create? Tension. If one person lets go, what happens? You lose the tension. I've been really praying into a lot that The body of Christ functions in tension constantly. Have you ever read one scripture that seems to contradict another scripture, but both scriptures are true? And you're like, Lord, how does this work? I use the analogy because the reality is that when the price is paid for our salvation, you know, and I wrote down, it's a free gift. Was it really free? Yes, for us, but who paid the price? It wasn't free for him, was it? If you've ever watched any movie, The Passion of Christ being one of the most famous ones by Mel Gibson, that was not free for him. You know, I'm using $10,000, but if you compare it to the kingdom of God and the price that he paid, unbelievable. I sometimes try to just sit and imagine the fact that that is the Son of God. Like, it's hard enough, Rod and I are good friends, but Rod, as much as he loves me, I can't imagine Rod going through that torment and that pain. And we could say, but it's the Savior, of course he did it for us, but he felt every stripe, every nail. He felt the breath that he could not breathe, and every minute he tried to, you know, crucifixion was designed to be tormenting. That they would literally have to, while they're nailed, lift themselves up to try to take a breath, and then they would fall back down. And they would do this for hours. Like, it was not free. It may be free for us, but it was not free for him. And so I look at the fact that if I'm at that toll booth and I realize that he paid for it, and all I have to do is receive that he paid for it, it may be free in that moment, but it wasn't free for him. The other thing I want to say is that when you come to that toll booth in this analogy, that you have to say that you paid the price, so I'm going to cross over this bridge, which means that the Buddha boat doesn't get you to heaven, and the Allah airplane doesn't get you to heaven, but Jesus Christ does. Like, we have to be really careful in the day and age that we live with. Theology is getting a it's getting mixed up. That, you know, people are starting to say all roads lead to heaven, all gods are the same. No, because that takes away, like, how can you say that? If I do that, then he didn't really pay the price. Jesus Christ paid the price, and that's the only way I can cross over. The Old Testament was that the toll booth used to be on the other side, and we'd have to do all these things to be able to get in. And then you would get to the toll booth, and then you would be looked over to see, and if not, you couldn't get in. But thank goodness for the lamb that was slain, right? Both the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament, but the ultimate lamb in Jesus Christ. But you can't go, well, I can get in this way, then you diminish what he paid for. You take away, actually, what he paid for. So the first thing you have to say is that I realize that Jesus Christ is allowing me to cross over. Once and for all, he paid the price. It wasn't free. It might be free to me, but it's not free to him. He paid the ultimate sacrifice, and now I can cross over. But my point that I'm going to make today is there's a tension between what he did and what we do. See, it's easy to go, well, I'm in. Well, technically you are. You crossed over. But abundant life is so much more than that. Turn to Colossians. I'm going to throw it up on here, but I'm not sure if we're going to be able to read it. It's pretty small. So next slide, please. Oh, I forgot about that slide. Isn't that a beautiful slide? It kind of reminds me of getting into heaven. You cross over. All right, next slide. All right. Colossians 3, 1 to 17. I don't know if you can read it on there, but I wanted to put some words into perspective. If then you were raised with Christ. That is a beautiful three-word phrase that we don't have time to go into today. But if you go to Romans, it will clearly describe what it means to be raised with Christ. Understanding that his sacrifice, when we join to it, we die with him. And if we die with him, then we are raised with him. Everybody say amen to that. And then it begins to use things like this. Seek those things which are above. Is seek a noun or a verb? It's a verb. Is it a sitting or an action? It's an action. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So just to look at those two words, seek and set. Those are action words. Keep reading a little bit more. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death. Does that sound like an action word? Have you ever had to, unfortunately, you know, we'll go really simple. Kill a bug, you put it to death. You know, I'm not anybody, I hate spiders. Anybody, you know, there are people, I'm trying to remember who it was. We used to have spiders and beetles, and they would pick them up as an intern and make sure that they got freed outside. If I came along, there was no choice. It was put to death. But there are some people that want to free every animal. That's beautiful, not me. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I just want to stop right here. We have already three words: seek, set, and put to death. So I want you to understand there's some tension building, because what we're talking about is the fact that Jesus paid the ultimate price, right? So think of a bridge and this tension on a bridge. Think of a rope that's being pulled. There's the understanding that he did it all and he paid the ultimate price, right? But then Paul's got to launch into, hey, this is your part. This is what you need to do. So here's the, again, going back to the analogy, the fact is that when the price is paid, I cross over. I am now a Christian going to heaven. I am now a saint. Last week, we talked about righteousness. We talked about being into, you are not poor anymore, but you are rich. But where's the balance between what he did and what we now have to work through? It's the tension. The price has been paid, but what part do we play? Now, here's the beautiful thing. You know, if you're looking at that picture, there are all these cables that go across. So when I start driving, I'm in the kingdom, folks. I just crossed. Like when I cross through that flag, I am now in the United States of America. Right? Now, luckily in this analogy, we don't get to the border crossing. He doesn't go look us over and decide whether we should get in or not. See, that's the law. But what I'm talking about is the fact that he has abundance for us. He has prosperity for us. But what part do we play as Christians? We sit back and we snooze and it all happens? Let's keep reading. Seek, that's an action. Set, that's an action. Put to death, that's an action. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. He is literally saying, listen, every one of those words, if you look at it, do those words bring life or death? Does fornication bring life to you? Brings death. Uncleanness, life or death? Death. The wrong type of passion? Death. Evil desires? Death. Covetousness? Death. Which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves, you once walked and you lived in them. See, here's that tension again. He's like, listen, you're now in me. You don't live in that anymore. That old man is dead. But by the way, don't carry it around anymore. Get it off. So it's like it could be put to death, but we're still dragging it with us. I'm going to share some. Okay. But now you yourselves are to put off. So in one sense, you're to put to death. In the next sense, you are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do those things bring life or death? Death. Get them out of your mouth. You are to do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Just want to stop there. Renewed in knowledge. Everybody say that with me. Renewed in knowledge. When I was looking at the analogy of the bridge, It's like in the lifetime that we live, we get to drive across and every day be renewed in knowledge. Every day beginning to look at the word and be renewed in knowledge. So if we say, man, I want to live an abundant, prosperous lifestyle. Did you know that you have to put off some old thoughts? Some old mentality? I shared pretty vulnerably last week, some ugly thoughts that came to mind. Do you remember what I was sharing about? When I was looking at, so here Chris and I have said, man, we want to go and we want to be prosperous this year. And we've set our minds to do some things and take some action. We're literally going after it, not for the sake. Listen, I don't want to be rich or have lots of wealth for the sake of just being rich and having lots of wealth. But how many have desires that if you had the money, you wish you could go and do it? Anybody else? There are things, it's like, man, if I had the money, sometimes as a staff, I get these thoughts like, if I could bring this person in, fly him in and train our staff, that'd be really cool. Or what if I could, I remember being on vacation once and this family flashed into my mind. I thought, oh, how cool would it be if I could go and say, listen, next time you're going here, it's covered. Anybody else ever have dreams like that? To send somebody to have a rest that they could not afford? Like, these are dreams that are beginning to percolate. I dream of having a home where pastors can come to and be refreshed. Like, wouldn't that be amazing if I could have a home and people that are totally burnt out could come and be loved on in our church and they could stay in a place? Like, these are the things that are percolating. So we've gone after it. We've said, oh, let's find ways to create wealth. So then this ugly thought hit me that if I begin to create wealth, what if next Christmas the church doesn't feel the need to give? Do you know how ridiculously poverty thinking that is? I began to think about it over and over again because you think about that. The only way that I can be blessed by you with that mindset is I have to stay in poverty. Think about it. That the only way that I could ever bless someone, and I've realized as I began to think that I bless people in their poverty, not in their honor. Like, I'd love to bless Claude. Oh, Claude doesn't need it. But if I feel to honor and sow a seed into Claude, it has nothing to do with poverty. It has everything with the Lord's telling me to do and I want to sow into his life. So these thoughts began to make me realize the poverty thinking. And then I began to think of how that can play out emotionally, spiritually. And I began to realize this is not a condition as much as it is a mindset that I have to kick out of my life. And the only way I can kick that mindset out of my life is I begin to be renewed in knowledge according to him. So what we're looking at is this tension that you are already into the kingdom, but what do you need to do to come into abundance and freedom? Well, this is it right here. You need to seek and set your mind and put to death and put off. And then you need to put on the new man. Are you following me? We'll read a little more. So he gets done all this, and then he starts to go, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. And I love this. Be thankful, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Can we read that together? And be thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The greatest thing to have an abundance lifestyle and a prosperity heart is that you would be thankful and you would let the word of God begin to dwell in you richly. Today we are doing that. I was trying again, stir us up. Lord, I'm so thankful. Do you ever sit in your house and just stop and go, Lord, I'm so thankful. It doesn't matter if you're living, like, listen, compared to a third world nation, we are kings and queens. Every once in a while, I thought, Lord, I was born in Canada. I can just stop there and go, thank you. All you have to do is look at a few pictures of third world nation and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you that we live in prosperity just by in the place that we were born. But you can live in a place of prosperity, but have a mindset of poverty. And Jesus came to kill that so we can live abundantly. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Turn with me. I don't have this on a slide. Turn with me to Joshua for a second. We're going to go Joshua 1. I think Joshua was one of the greatest examples to me of what that bridge analogy looks like. Because he's going to say some interesting words. We'll start at verse 1, Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I've said to Moses. I want you to stop and think about that. He's like, listen, I want you to cross the bridge and the land that I'm giving you, it's yours. Go take it. Go take it. And here, if you follow the story of Joshua, did they walk in and just go all the time? Now, there's some incredible stories about the wall falling. And I believe that if, as you walk through Joshua, you can see that at different seasons, it takes a different strategy. In one season, they're to walk in silence and then shout. In another season, they go to war. We need to know the strategy for what we're dealing with. But what my point is this. God is like, hey, you've crossed actually over and it's all yours. Now go and take it. Sometimes I would rather it be, Lord, I thank you that you've paid the price. Now just make it happen. Right? It doesn't work. You know, I come to the line, and isn't it amazing that we have moments where we come to the line, and in his supernatural sovereignty, he takes care of something in an instant. Do you have, anybody have anything in your life that in a, like you got saved and boom, it was gone. And then you have something else in your life, it took years to walk through. Anybody? There, you know, growing up as a teenager and detasseling corn, you know, the environment is not the greatest environment when you detassel corn. So although I went to church and I was a Christian, the language, you just begin to pick up, right? You begin to pick up language, and before you know it, you're saying some things that you don't want to say. When I say I was a Christian, but when I really dedicated my life to the Lord, it's like instantly I didn't even need to stop swearing. I just didn't even think like that anymore. But I noticed other things in my life. I'm like, Lord, why didn't you take that right off the bat? Because there's something about battling and growing. There are things that, like you're driving across the bridge and all those tension things that you need to pass because that's the only way you're going to grow. Sometimes it's the only way you're going to grow up. If it comes easy, then it becomes entitlement. So I'm so thankful that the Lord knows exactly what we need. In one minute, he's like, you know what? My sovereign grace is going to obliterate this. And in another minute, he's like, I'm going to teach him how to think differently over and over again. I love Dorman's story. If you actually knew the fullness of Dorman's story, he attributes the moment right here to the victory. And then how long did it take you to walk that out? It's been 11 and a half years. Did you notice what he said? It's been. He didn't say, well, it ended 2 years later or 2 months later. He's been walking it out for 11 and a half years. It's this tension, right? It's this tension of what he does sovereignly and how we walk it out later on as humans. The beautiful thing is he walks with us all the time. So let's read a little further. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for the people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. He will go on and on and on. If you read it fully, you know what he says over and over again? Hey, be strong and very courageous. Hey, be strong and very courageous. Hey, be strong and very courageous. Is it possible that you tell somebody something three times is because they're not feeling very strong and very courageous? Do you have to remind somebody, if they already have that in them, do you have to remind them over and over again? You know, if sorry, Caleb. He's like, great. I know, my poor kids, they sit in the front row. But every once in a while, I'll have to say to my son, not once, Caleb, can you take out the garbage? Not twice, Caleb, can you take out the garbage? Not three times, Caleb, can you take? Sometimes it takes four or five times. Now he's working on that. He's getting so much better. He's like, this has got to end better. But I'm telling him because it's something he's growing in. He's growing in. He's growing in. Now, I truly believe the day will come because like all of us, we grow into maturity that it'll be more like, Caleb, thank you for taking out the garbage. But he's telling Joshua something that's not fully inside of him yet. And he's like, you're going to have to be strong and you have to be courageous. You're going to have to be strong and you're going to have to be courageous. Even though Jesus was walking literally with him, he had to be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Did you hear that? He gives them instruction like we're getting here in the New Testament. So again, I go back to my analogy. The price has been paid, but we want the fullness. So Joshua, the land is yours. Now go and take it. And he gives them instructions, and he says this. We'll read it again. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it from the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I just think the tension in those verses are incredible. Because he's like, I'm going to go wherever you go, but you need to do this as well. The tension is, he's paid for the price on the cross. He's paid for your poverty mentality. He's paid for all your healing. He's paid for the darkness. He's paid for those things that he wants rid out of you. He's paid for it. But then he says, now walk it out. Now, I don't know if you noticed the very same thing that he says in here, he says right here. He doesn't say be thankful in there, but he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's the same thing as meditate on the word. I'm saying all this because I know personally, I'm going to take it personal. There are things that I've wanted in life that I've been unwilling to pursue, waiting for the Lord to just magically make it happen. And then I'm disappointed, I'm discouraged. And the whole time realizing that I have, last week we said it, study to show thyself approved. And I took us down the path that we want to remember. It's not you have to do all this to be approved. It's prepare yourself. It's, you know how many scriptures the Lord uses about a farmer that goes out and needs to prepare his field? And we had a beautiful prophetic word about that. There is a part that we play in this relationship. It's preparing our hearts. It's studying the word. It's going after things that have been plaguing us and going, I don't want that to plague me anymore. How many of you saw my Facebook post last night and this morning? Raise your hand if you saw it. Anybody? Pastor Rod started it. It was a beautiful challenge. He said, why don't we change things and start coming full so we can give out? Instead of coming empty, expecting to be filled. I took it a step further. I put things like, hey, why don't we bring our Bibles? It's a really great idea to come to church with our Bibles. And then I took it a step further and I said, why don't you bring a notebook and take notes? I was in the staff meeting on Thursday and we were kind of doing a rundown. And I said to them, so let's go through the service. And we sometimes do that. And we looked at different things. And Sean gave a beautiful offering last week. Wasn't that great? Sean did a great job. And then I said, so give me some feedback on my sermon. And they went, what was it about again? Now, sometimes I have to remind myself what I preached on last week. Like, I have to look at my own notes. I wrote them. I had the revelation. You know what I mean? Like, God was pouring into me. I wrote them down. And midweek, I'm like, that was such a good revelation. What was it? It has to go in. And here's the beauty. I have the notes that I go back to and sit with and go, Lord, I know this is not fully in me yet. The reason why you gave it to me is because you want it in me and in them. So I'm preaching on something I'm still working on. But I have the ability to go back into my own notes and look it up. But what are you going to go back and look up? Pastors like the notes. We are entering a season, and I want to challenge you, and thank you, Pastor Rod, you put it on there. We have dedicated ourselves as leaders to raise up mighty ones. But will you be dedicated to become a mighty one? Not because you have to, because you want to. Have you ever counseled or worked with somebody over and over again and you just bang your head on the wall because you can't figure out why they can't get it? Anybody? Let's do this. Have you ever been that person? You think God ever does that with us? Oh my gosh. I want to encourage us in 2019 to be people that seek, people that set, people that put to death things, people that put off things, people that put on things, people that are thankful, people that renew themselves in the Word of God to become all that God's called us to be. I said it earlier, prosperity and poverty, because this all goes hand in hand. I'll work on a little bit later another sermon. I'm realizing more and more prosperity and poverty may be a condition, but it starts with a mindset that leads you into a condition. If you want to get out of some of the conditions that you're in, you need to change your mindset. You know, I picked on you guys in a positive way last week. The Hawaii trip, marriages together, it's awesome. Have you had to work on some things? Absolutely. Are you going after it? Have you taken some, like, we're making this marriage work? Absolutely. It doesn't just magically happen one day when you're in a battle and go, whew, we're better now, let's get together, go to Hawaii. They've been going after things. Chris and I are going after things. What are you going after in 2019? That's the question. I want to ask you, what are you going after in 2019? There are mindsets, like I said, that I'm coming aware of that I want to destroy in my life. I may look at the outcome and I go, I don't like this outcome. So what mindset, Lord, are you going to destroy through me getting into the word and getting that destroyed in my life? I'm not satisfied anymore for 4 years going through the same thing over and over and over again. I'm stepping back and going, Lord, what do you want to destroy and how do I destroy that thing? And maybe for that thing to be destroyed, it's he says, wait on me and be silent. Just like walking around the walls of Jericho. Or maybe he says, I want you to become violent with this thing and I want you to go after it with everything you have. Because both are God. Sometimes he'll say, it's funny what pops in your head. I was going to say, sometimes he'll say, just go to the front and wait on me. And what came to mind immediately is Ashley Johnson. That one day back in Woodsley when the Lord spoke to her and said, if you go to the front, I will heal you. I can't get into it, but she had, I don't know if it was an autoimmune disease or whatever it was, but she couldn't even hardly walk. And she went to the front in obedience and God healed her. She didn't have to try to convince herself to be healed. God wanted to sovereignly heal her. And I'm sure if I sat down with Ashley and said, is there anything else in your life you've had to go after? She would say what? Oh, yeah. You got to listen to the Lord and what he wants. But the point is, what are you going after in 2019? Because he paid for the price for you to cross over and then get all the way. You understand what I'm saying? You don't cross over into heaven. You already crossed over the minute that toll was paid and you received it. But the abundance still can be on the other side. Joshua, the water parted and they were able to walk right through it. But then they had to go in war for the land that God had given them. It's this incredible tension. Lord, what do you want me to do in this season, in this hour? The point is that he wants us to do something. Please stand. You can do that last slide, please, Ben. The final thoughts that I had. Do you feel entitled to have change or empowered to change? I want us to feel empowered to change. Because the Son of God lives inside of us. Spirit of wisdom rests within us. So I don't feel entitled. That makes me feel empowered. Like, really, think of that. Spirit of the living God dwells within us. I feel empowered to say, Lord, what am I going after and what do you want to break? Poverty asks, who will invest in me to continually help me out? These are some of the thoughts I've been percolating. Prosperity asks, who and what do I need to invest in to advance? See, that poverty mindset and entitlement is like, who's going to fix me? Right? Prosperity says, what do I need to do? Do I need to wait, Lord? Do I need to invest, Lord? Who do I need to have coffee with, Lord? Who has the victory, Lord? There are some people that are right beside you that have the victory that you are desperately needing. I'm going to have coffee with them. Poverty and prosperity are both inside jobs, and they come from a mindset. So I challenge you for 2019. I actually challenge you to do one homework tonight, this week. Can you do one thing? I got one sure. Was that my daughter? Oh, was that Connie? Connie's a teacher. See, Connie knows homework. She knows how powerful homework is. She does her homework. Connie's going to check your homework next week. She refused. She retired. This is the homework I want you to do. I want you to go home and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to go after in 2019? What is the one giant that stands in front of me right now that I need to go after in 2019? And Lord, how do I partner with you to see this destroyed? And he could say, wait on me. He could say, go for coffee with someone. He could begin to show you scriptures that you need to meditate on so it'll destroy that mindset. But ask the Lord, what is it you want me to go after in 2019? So Father God, we thank you. Lord, I thank you that you are calling us out of things. You are asking us to put off things and put on things. And Lord, we just want to stop and say thank you for the ultimate price that you paid. Lord, I thank you that in both analogies, you paid the price. You paid the ultimate sacrifice that we could get into the kingdom. But Lord, I thank you, you don't want us to stay in a poverty mentality. You don't want us to stay in a lack. You want us to move forward. And so, Lord, would you just begin to show us in 2019 what you want us to go after? Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would begin to reveal to people even things that have been holding them back. And they would begin to say, 2019, this thing's going to be broken. Lord, I pray you bless everyone here now. Lord, I thank you for the baby dedication. I thank you for Clara. I thank you for the classes today. I thank you for the word that has been spoken. I just ask now, Lord, you would bless every person here. In Jesus' name, amen.